Started, dude. Yep. You didn't check the. No, we're live. We're live. Hi, everybody. We're live. Good morning. It's Comedy at the Carlson cast here at Comedy at the Carlson on a Saturday afternoon. And this is exciting. We've never done this before. This is something that is momentous. It is a game changer. And my camera's crooked. Let me tell you something, guys. I'm about to. You're making me look bad in front of the bosses. On the couch is Mark Ippolito, the co-founder of Comedy at the Carlson. And sitting in Brian's chair today, a much better version of Brian, the other co-founder of Comedy at the Carlson, Dr. Suresh Goel. Woo! It is a surprise and a bit of a mitzvah to get you in here today, Suresh.
Thank you. Well, pleasure to be here.
Okay. Don't be so subdued about it. Don't feel so...
That's about how I feel.
Okay. I understand. Yeah. So here's what's happening. You folks watching at home, you guys tied in. We usually have a much better, tighter opening to a show, but not today. Not today. Today is something completely different. It is the first Comedy at the Carlson cast AMA, and that stands for Ask Mark Anything. We've asked you guys for the last day to send us your questions for him, whatever you want to ask him. And we've got a lot of different things, ranging from comedy questions to personal questions. people would like to know what beard products you use.
Beard products,
yeah. Weird stuff. We got a lot of weird... There's weird people who watch this show, Mark.
You also could do ASA, too, as well.
Ask Suresh anything. Absolutely. Suresh is here. We could ask Suresh anything. You leave me out of it. You could ask those guys whatever you want.
AVA.
No AVA. There's no AVA day.
Let's ask Vinny anything.
So let's start at the beginning here with the first question we got, and this one is for Mark. And you watching at home, feel free to submit your questions. The text line is open, 585-484-0265, or email us in carlsoncast.com. It'd be best to text right now because we've got everything open and going. But the question is, Mark, what is the origin of you saying yabba dabba do?
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big one.
Because you say yabba dabba do a lot. probably said it more than Fred Flintstone at this point.
Oh, wow. All right, well.
It's a silly question.
Yes, it's my yada, 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 or like, and so on, when you're in conversation and you have a moment where you speak kind of gibberish, I guess, naturally. I say yabba dabba do. Or if somebody's asking me a question where the answer is yes, but it's like a kind of exciting yes, I say yabba dabba do. It comes from actually a good friend of mine named John LaCrosse, who's unfortunately no longer with us. They used to call him Johnny Rotten. And back in the day, the two of us, we used to do a lot of martial arts together, and he would say Scooby-Dooby-Doo, and I would say yabba dabba do, and it kind of stuck. And this was like probably about 10 years before the Bloodhound King came up with that song, Scooby Snacks.
Okay.
And we would always say Scooby Snacks, or we'd call girls Scooby Snacks. Like, look at that Scooby Snack right there. Yes, I know it's not very politically correct these days.
I don't know how well that holds up.
But the Scooby Dooby Doo and the Yabba Dabba Doo is always stuck. And like, I guess I'm a very, I don't want to say dramatic, but maybe when I talk with my hands. I'm very animated when I speak. So when I have a conversation with somebody and the answer is like a high yes, it's a yabba dabba do.
Okay. All right. It's a that's just one of those things.
Yabba dabba do.
I have a question that I don't know the answer to that I'm excited to ask because I have Suresh and Mark here. Nice. How did you two first even meet each other?
Why is there this prolonged, awkward silence?
Because that's your part to answer.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
How did you even meet this guy?
It was very.
I mean, you're an amazing dentist. You're an orthodontist. You do all this stuff, and then you got the guy over here going yabba dabba do, and you were like, "That's my guy."
That's right.
Well, first, if I may, a periodontist, not orthodontist.
Periodontist.
I don't know. I think we spent some time at the comedy club in Webster, and I got to know each other there. And when it came time to look at a project like this, I think that we both had an interest in doing that. Coming from Canada, I've always really enjoyed comedy and always wanted to be a little bit of a part of that. So we thought this would be a good project to work on together.
In a major way, you're a part of it now, my friend. And I will have to say this. You did comedy, too, didn't you, for a little bit, Suresh? You used to tell jokes?
Well, I wouldn't call it comedy, but in a lot of ways, I think dentistry is just stand-up 8 hours a day, just with suffering. Although sometimes the stand-up we see also involves suffering.
A lot,
so,
yes.
Really, I guess you could look at it. Dentistry and comedy have a lot of similarities together.
Interesting. Now, Mark, you also used to do comedy, and that's one of the questions we got from, I believe it's E.I. Williams. I don't know. Do you miss performing at all, Mark?
Sometimes, like when a couple of years ago I did the roast of Tony D, which was very fun, and that was really a good time. I missed it. I love being on stage in front of all those people. But on the now these days, I really like to be behind the scenes. I don't like it when my name is said. I don't want the attention these days. I just want the business to work, including today. You know, this was a impromptu interview, which I agree to do, but I really just like to be behind the scenes now, mm-hmm. and making sure that everything professionally is working.
And I know that's true about you, because last night, Suresh, at the roast battles, like, he walked up to me and he goes, "Hey, listen, tell them not even to, like, say my name at all from the stage tonight." Yeah. And I was like, "Are you afraid it's going to go that badly, Mark?" And
no, I just don't want the attention anymore. I love where this place has gone. I love the team that we have. Nothing could have happened here without, you know, Suresh. Nothing could have happened here without his wife, Cheryl, without everybody from down to the dishwasher, Parker. Well, maybe.
You could probably
I'm just kidding,
ditch
Parker.
That kid.
I just said that because Brian's not here. But,
yeah, for those of you who don't know, my co-host Brian's son is a dishwasher here. And you could guess where that puts Brian on the totem pole. If you'd like to put a wager on that.
But the point is, you know, it's a great company. It's not a nightclub. It's not a bar. It's a great company. We're always thinking about being progressive. We are always thinking together. We are always thinking. So I don't like the attention anymore. I like to just to be part of something larger than me.
Well,
I think if I can also add to that, that's a great point that, you know, it really isn't about us at all. This is about really providing a platform. So you're right. We are a comedy club at our heart. That's what we believe in. That's what drives us. But we also want to be an opportunity for people to use the space as a platform to be creative. The focus needs to be on them. We want people to be able to come here and build what their dream is off of what our dream is. So it's something that we want people to build more that they can take with them. And so that's why it's important that it really not be about us at all.
That's a very interesting concept. Because it's something that most businesses would never really think to put their emphasis on, I don't believe. Making a place for talent to be able to come and create something is incredible. It's like a sandbox in a lot of ways, this building. To play the Rickles Room in particular, whichever one of you came up with the idea of having the second showroom, my hat is off to you, because it's one of the greatest things that's happened to local comedy in this city in a very, very long time. Because the reality is, the marketing giant that is Comedy at the Carlson, the names that we bring in, it gets a lot of eyes, just in general. When you're bringing in the Bob Sagetts and you're bringing in Tammy Pescatelli this week, people who are known in the business, the rest of the city turns around and looks. And it also helps elevate some of the young performers, because they get opportunity to work with some of the best in the world. Correct. And not only that, like you said, Suresh, be able to come up with their own types of things, like we do in the Rickles with, like, Showmageddon last year, where we had a bunch of shows come in and try to do something. The Hate This Podcast shows.
Even what you just did last night with the roast battles.
With the roast battles.
And what that does is also puts the company in a safe place, because we both want to support local comedy to its fullest extent. But at the same time, when we had open mic in the bar, you know, people would walk in that were like, "Hey, let's just go check out this comedy club." And there might not have been somebody who had the same vision as us as where they were going on stage. And it just didn't look like,
sure.
Well, I'll just put they weren't funny.
Right.
And somebody walking in thinking, "Oh, this is a comedy club. This is how it goes." And they walk in to see somebody, you know, bombing on stage. It just, the idea was, you know, to kind of grow it in the other room that we had. That way people understand that that's the space for people to grow. With the, I know you mentioned The contest you mentioned, the roast battle, the Hate This Podcast, but also the new Comic Night spotlights. That's how we see everybody. So, like an example, Luke Thiers last night destroyed the room, absolutely destroyed the room, and he's been asking me for work for a couple weeks, and on purpose, Luke, if you're paying attention, I purposely was going to give you work, but I needed to wait till after this.
Sure.
You had work coming to you because we've already saw your how talented you were throughout this whole contest. But then last night, he just absolutely destroyed it. The joke writing he did, you know, everything that he had from his comebacks to everything were so on point. We're going to now put him through our stable of guys and have him start to MC here because we can trust that he'll be a professional on our main stages.
And see, that's a beautiful thing. Go ahead, Trash.
Well, we're going to invoice him for destroying the room. Okay? Because I want to make sure that, that there is responsibility with power. That is important.
You should know.
That's right. It's going to cost you $500, Luke.
You have to repaint. I think we need some new
501, baby. It's going to cost you 501. Yeah. You know, when you have Suresh, when you have Israel, there's a very powerful billing department behind it. I would just, so everybody knows, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
For those who don't know, Suresh is an absolute business magnate, and it's also been an extreme learning process for me as well as the company to be going through this process. It's been amazing.
I want to go back to something real quick because I think it's really great that Suresh is here too today because we've evolved quite a bit, and I love that's a word that Suresh uses a lot. We're always evolving and we're always moving forward. And I want to say something, and I know a lot of comics, and I'm saying this directly to the local comics, not who I would usually be talking to. They were very upset when we stopped doing the weekly open mic here. They were very upset, and they felt like there was a giant, giant gap of, like, how do we get to, from where we are, to Comedy at the Carlson to go work professionally and get in that thing. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I really want to say, even though we changed that formula, that traditional weekly open mic formula that so many clubs try to do and so many people try to keep going, it's got to be weekly, it's got to be weekly, everybody's got to practice. We evolved and kind of came up with a new way to do it. Mm-hmm. And the reason we did that is because we weren't afraid to say this isn't working.
Correct.
Right. And I have to say, I really wanted to commend you for that. And I just want the comics to think about the bigger picture. Had we have continued to just do like a weekly open mic, even though it was weekly, no one was coming to. And it just, when there's nobody there, it's not fun. Everybody knows that. But instead of that, we've been able to create something that's really cool and special. So that's what you get when you get people who think outside of the traditional comedy box, like Suresh here. Suresh is a smart guy, one of the smartest people I've ever been around in my life. So I can only imagine how difficult your days get to be sometimes.
Well, if I may, for one moment, I think Vinny, that says more about the people that you hang out with.
Oh yeah, they're idiots. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, to tell you the truth, the one thing that I think is so wise about Suresh is that he's constantly on the thirst for more knowledge all the time. And that's one of the things that he's awoken in me is the thirst for knowledge as well.
It's contagious.
So we were reading a book, he read it and then he passed it on to me. And honestly, when I was in the third chapter of this book, I felt like I've wasted so much of my life and I felt like an idiot. And I immediately texted him. I was like, oh man, I go, I'm on chapter 3 and I honestly feel like I'm an idiot right now. And he said, I feel that way too. So like he, one of the things that he's taught me is that, to keep, or not taught me, but lit a fire into me to keep having a thirst for, to be intuitive and ask questions and learn more because there is all more. No one knows everything. The wisest person.
What book was this shirt?
It was the Nancy Drew series.
Yes.
And the thing is, it's you learn so much. You learn how to ask questions. You learn about people. And that's really, when it awakens that intuition in you. So she's a really phenomenal investigator, Nancy.
Yeah.
I would really recommend it. So,
all right. That funny?
It was great.
Back to silly questions from the viewers here. Here's a fun one. Sarcastic comment.
There we go.
They were wondering, how many trees did Mark have to cut down to earn that beard? We'll skip past that.
It's been 25 years since I hit my face with a razor. So I've cut it with clippers, and but I've always had like the George Michael kind of like 5 o'clock shadow. Uh-huh, I know, uh-huh. I know that uh-huh. sounds weird, but my wife loved it, and this is like a. It just, I guess,
I more, never would have
more
thought
biblical
of it.
Kind of feel.
Yeah, I. You know what? You used to really rock the George Michael kind of thing. Now that you mention it, I've never put those two thoughts together. Now, but now I just want to giggle.
Well, I think this is going to be the year that I'm going to have Rosie see me with the beard. I go into the bathroom, actually hit it with a straight razor, and come back out. And
so this is the year you traumatize your child.
Correct. Okay. I'm gonna try it. Yeah. Perfect. I mean, I don't know. This has been like, I've never hit my face with a straight razor in like 25 years.
All right. Here's
a
question.
Can I go back to the open mic question again? Because that's a question that really resonates with me, because I always really felt that the open mics were going to be a large part of what we did. And what we realized early into that process is that by having the open mics, what we didn't have is we didn't have a curated group of comics. And moving more towards a curated format, knowing that each person that goes on our stage meets a certain level and has a certain amount of experience. And if someone isn't there, then we want to actually take a time out and work with them to get them there. So we want to elevate the folks that maybe aren't where they need to be competing in some of the, quite frankly, very innovative shows that you've been creating, which are tremendous. But none of those shows would exist if we didn't take a time out and start moving towards a curated format. Mm-hmm. And that's simply a function of the size of Rochester. If Rochester was a bigger city, it'd be a little bit different. But because we have a very, very limited population, we don't have the luxury of being able to sort of have as open a format as you might see in a larger city.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to explain it. We are limited by the size of the city. The audience is, how many audience members can you get in at any given night?
Right.
I mean, in New York, you could run 4 or 5 shows a night if you wanted to. Here, we can do 1 or 2.
Well, we ran 3 last Saturday.
That's true.
It all depends.
With two showrooms.
It's all situational ethics.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I guess you brought up something interesting there, Suresh, and we'll keep moving in that direction. When we talk about having a curated group of performers, one of the questions that we got was from Rachel Blythe, who was a contestant in our contest last year, did very well. She's from Syracuse, and she'd like to ask Mark, what do you look for in a host, and what do you think makes a great host? What are the qualities that you're looking for in people that maybe the club would take a time out, like Suresh said, to pause and help people get where they want to be? What are you looking for in them?
For me personally, a host is silverware that sets the table for the meal. They're the ones who are really, they're the first person you're going to see when the exciting, you know, the fanfare, the opening of the show happens. That's who's going to introduce you on this ride you're about to go on. The host, although sometimes considered not the most important person on the show to some, to me, is the most important person mm-hmm. of the show. If they need to be able to carry that show, they need to be able to make sure that the room understands the rules, that they know the announcements, have a little bit of themselves come out, not much, because it's not about their act. It's mm-hmm. about setting the table and then moving the show along in a timely fashion. And that means then knowing that their time is up, then bringing on the feature act.
Mm-hmm.
After the feature act does their time appropriately, then going up and moving the show then for the headliner and making it flow seamlessly from beginning to end.
Right.
And so then at the end, thanks for coming out. Make sure you go to carlsoncomedy.com. Preacher Lawson's coming up. Yabba dabba do, like the Carlson cast. There's yabba dabba do.
Yeah, tell people to do that more, would you? Because I'm going to start.
Yabba dabba do. But no. that's the most important. And there goes a pitcher off the wall.
That probably wasn't important.
Not to me. No.
So there's ghosts in this. But that's the MC, for me, the host, is the most important.
It's all right. Don't
the start of the
so
process.
I get that. I understand that. That's what the job entails. Mm-hmm. But my question is this, Mark. What specific traits do you see in performers that are good at hosting versus ones that you look at that say, that person I don't think would be very good at hosting? Are there tangible things that you could identify?
Structure.
Okay.
Yeah. absolutely.
Structure, professionalism. I don't want to hear the F word 17 times when I see you at your shows. Even if you do that, that doesn't cancel you out. But what that does is tell me where you are in this comedy ladder. I want somebody who has the ability to, when they speak, it takes me away. I don't want to be thinking about my cell phone or thinking about the million emails I got today or leaning over and whispering to Suresh. I'll give you an example. Last night, the comedians that were performing, I think maybe me and you said three words to each other the whole night, right?
They were fantastic. They really kept everyone engaged. They were moving. Yep. They were engagement. Hopping. So it was a really great... one other thing I'll comment on is one thing that I would like to see more in the hosts, and this may or may not be appropriate, but shout out to the server team. First of all, our server team here, it just amazes me how... competent they are at getting everyone their food and beverages. And 300 plus people in that room, and then clearing that room for a second show, it's unbelievable. And so I would love to see a little bit more of a shout out from the host to make sure you tip your server staff. Mm-hmm. And take care of them, because I mean, without them, that's a huge component of the show and why the show is so enjoyable. I don't know what's going on.
Pictures are falling off the wall.
Well, you kind of like push the chair right on the wall there.
It's all right.
It's all right. Sure.
If I had emotions, I'd probably feel terrible. Is that what people do? Is that what people feel?
So here's what we just learned from this is the lesson we just learned. Whatever was back there that just fell down, it fell down for a reason. At some point, we're going to put something better up there, and life will be even greater. So that's what I've learned from Suresh.
So put a picture of Suresh right there.
Oh, my gosh. We need a picture. Yes. Oh, you're going on my wall behind me.
We don't want to break camera lenses and
stuff
here.
I'm going to put Suresh right back here. I'm going to get rid of Patrice, and we'll just have a portrait of you, Suresh.
No. Let's move on.
Okay. Let's do that. Question for you. This is kind of an interesting one. Mark, why Welcome to the Jungle? If you've been to a show at Carlson, or even any of the old clubs, it was always Welcome to the Jungle. What is it about that song that you think starts comedy shows off right?
It was 12 years ago that the first time I opened a show with Welcome to the Jungle. And I remember just kind of winging it, like, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the comedy club. Turn off your cell phones, yabba dabba doo. And it flowed and it worked out well, like that one part. And then it kind of became the brand. And so like 6 years into the place, you know, somebody mentioned to me like, hey, look, maybe we should do something different. I was like, all right, we could try it. And we did it one week and it just didn't work. But then I got to tell you, I think it was, I want to say Matt Delbert, but I can't really remember. Somebody said to me that they said they can't listen to Welcome to the Jungle without thinking about a comedy show. And I said, you know what? I'm never going to do that anything other than that again. And then when I left to do this with Suresh, we decided, you know, because we were a new club, that we were going to do Richard Cheese's Welcome to the Jungle.
Right, right.
And it...
a little classier.
A little classier kind of worked, but you know what? People were coming up to me and they're like, dude, You gotta. What's going on here? And I wasn't opening the shows actually when we opened up. Jimmy was.
Well, Jim LaChase was. Yeah.
Jimmy LaChase. And everyone was like, dude, they're like, you gotta Welcome to the Jungle, it, man. You gotta. And so it was. That was actually. It just was a thing, and then all of a sudden, then it was because, I guess, the people asked.
And it is a jungle up there. I mean, on stage, it is.
You're gonna die.
You know, it's a jungle. I don't know how to describe the stage. And, you know, speaking of Jimmy, he was the first one to recognize the power of the Rickles room. I still remember when he saw it, when he finished the room, you know, working on the room, and he said, this room is my favorite room. And he really recognized the intimacy of that room, and that's why I think it's such an amazing platform for comics.
As a performer, I could tell you when I walk onto that stage, it is a completely heads and tails different vibe than the main room, than the meanie room.
100%.
Because you have, you know, you may have people up to the stage in the other room. Here, you feel like you're just surrounded by the crowd and the
intimacy.
Rickles. It's so, like, everybody's right there on top of you. And it makes for, like, Mark, you hit the nail on the head. It's intimate. Mm-hmm. It's an intimate room. And that's a special kind of performance. Like, even the comics that I've seen do sets in the main room and do a set in there, their act changes a little bit. Mm. It gets to be a little more like we're having a talk as opposed to I'm putting on a show. And it just creates a really cool vibe.
And that's why Webster worked out so well, because we were able to put 190 people in that small room.
Yeah.
And everyone loved it, from Mark Maron to Jimmy Norton. They were like, this room is amazing, because it was so intimate. And it wasn't to the point where you're like, you're in a New York City room, and I'm not trying to pick anybody down there, where you're sitting really like on top of your neighbor. You actually have space to kind of have your legs, you know, comfortable, and you're not elbowing some guy in the gut.
And we're wider people here also.
Exactly.
That's something to take into account.
Chubby.
The other thing is, I think the seating arrangement that you did in the Rickles is also lends itself to having a little bit more space and a little bit more comfort. Everyone's facing the stage. You're not turning at all. So I think all those things really contribute to being an environment where you can really focus on the show, really be immersed in the show.
And there's not a bad seat in the house in any of our showrooms.
No. The main room, that was the key. You know, we really looked into science about this, doing this. We literally had a table set up and ready in one of these admin spaces under construction, where we were testing out placements of seat, testing out different glassware and plate sizes and stuff like that to see what
seat cushion thickness.
Seat cushion thickness. We have 2.5 inches of foam for your tuckuses, just in case everyone.
These are the Cadillac of
stackable chairs.
Stackable chairs. That's right. You can't buy a stackable chair with thicker padding.
That's right. So. It was because like when.
We're going to treat your ass nice.
We are.
Well, let's think about this. I mean, how many places have you gone to a show and they have that typical $13 stackable chair, the black one that you see everywhere? And that we had those in the comedy club, you know, because that's the typical thing. And, you know, there was many discussions going into this that, are we just going to be a club, or what are we, who are we? And, the definition of that is definitely in the details of everything that Suresh and I have discussed, and then with the team that came on afterwards. I mean, Vinny, not for nothing, you were number three in my car sitting in the parking lot in front of this place when I asked you if you wanted to be on board with
this. One and two had turned us down, but we feel that, you know, you're certainly a reasonable third choice.
Right, It's kind of like how the Dolphins ended up with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's kind of like the same thing.
You are Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
So, and Trish, he was literally like, fuck yeah, I'm in. He was literally like, yes, well, this is great,
listen,
I'm in.
Listen, this is a true thing. To go back in time, I'll never forget that day, because you were just like, hey, I want to show you something. You wouldn't tell me what it was. You didn't want anything. We pulled into the parking lot.
Yeah.
And there wasn't even, you were.
The same.
Shit. So there wasn't even the entrance that you walk into in this building. No. Wasn't even there. The paper wasn't there. It was just, he's like, so we're going to put the door there. And I was like, that's how from scratch this place started. Yeah. There wasn't even a door there.
Oh, my gosh. That door was cut out of brick, wasn't it?
We did.
Oh, there wasn't even a door. Wow.
If you want to see a pretty cool video, Todd actually just posted on his Facebook about like a two-year kind of the rough draft of what it was. And he kind of explained to people like, okay, so the door is going to be here. This is where Radio Social is going to be. Radio Social wasn't even open yet.
I remember you're like, oh, and on the other side of the wall, there's going to be a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Suresh and I were literally coming in here like looking in the windows, trying to get, there was like a couple rooms that like had a lake in them because the hole in the roof just let in so much rainwater and there was so much damage to the building. Yeah. But it was.
I think if we'd seen the site, you know, if we'd seen the space during daylight hours, we might have reconsidered. The important thing was we came here at night, you know, and snuck in, and that's when we kind of made
the decision-making
process.
So yeah, this is where this is going to be.
Cat burglars.
and I think what was nice also is a lot of the infrastructure was already here. A lot of the spacing and rooms, to some degree, had already were already sort of demised out. And then whatever we added, we tried to add that to conceal and hide away a lot of the inner workings, the kitchen and so on, and to minimize noise and other contaminants into the environment. So that's one thing that I think we're always working to evolve. We're always looking at technology to evolve and make the experience better. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we never want to stop doing that. And, you know, even the facility itself over time is going to continually evolve, you know, going forward.
as an example, we are already duplicating the technology that's in our main room into the Rickles room already. We're taking all of the PA out of the Rickles room, all of the, you know, how the soundboard and the tables are on to the right side of the stage and those giant speakers.
There's going to be more seating. It's going to be unbelievable.
It's going to be cleaner. All of the turbo sounds, which are those nice small speakers that are in the main room, those are going to be in the Rickles room. So you're not going to see the obtrusiveness of these giant speakers that are in there now. And that's actually already ordered. And it's actually being used by the band tonight in the bar.
Evolution, man. Evolution is the key word here at Comedy at the Carlson.
And also feedback. You know, a lot of that comes from 360-degree feedback from some of our comics telling us what they would like in the Rickles room to help it become a platform for them to record or to produce whatever they want to create.
And customers, too. Sky Sands had a... Unfortunately, one night I took off and the sound engineers that was supposed to be working there.
I remember that night.
Decided not to show up, so there was nobody to work sound, and I was in Syracuse, so I was trying to get back. Numerous customers made numerous comments, and every single one of them were paid attention to.
That Vinny Paulino was the greatest opener ever.
But and guess what? They
Literally
were all
no
fixed.
One's ever said that, as far as I know.
The humming, everything was fixed in that room that week. Sometimes you need a fire to be lit under your ass to kind of make things. You have to stumble and fall to get back up and strive, and that was one of those, you know, moments of the Rickle Room awakening. And that's actually the Rickles Room is going to get a whole new look and feel.
It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited for it, and it's going to be sooner rather than later, it feels like.
It is.
So
we just need like 5 days where there's nothing going on in there to where we can just tear out down the old stuff, put the new stuff up, and then we have to decide what color we're going to paint it.
Yeah, I think we all really underestimated the power of the Rickles Room and what it would let people create. And so now it's incumbent upon us to build the infrastructure at the next level so that we can take the creativity to a higher level also.
I mean, the fact that the things that we've been able to do in there already, things like Riff Night, where we were showing movies and doing like Mystery Science Theater type shows, live stuff like that, really interesting experiences, like going back to when Val Kilmer was here, showing a live movie in the main room and then doing like a Q&A around it. There are so many different types and varieties of shows that we can put on here. This is like a world-class facility already, and we're sitting here talking about how to make it better.
Exactly, right, and absolutely. That's one of the things, like yesterday, the whole reason why we are sitting here right now is because we didn't do a podcast yesterday, and one of the things that we are going to make it better is the sound, because the sound would have came from the Rickles Room into the studio because there was 23 dental drills that being demonstrated by 23 dentists were here, and it was a company in here showing them equipment.
Right.
So the noise would have traveled into the studio. So we're going to now fix that noise problem so the studio can be operative even if there is an event that's a little bit noisy in the Rickles. And then B, we have events other than comedy going on in the Rickles.
Right.
You know, so.
And here's another thing. Let's not forget to do this. If you are watching this and you have an event or something, if you have a party, things like that, you can call us up anytime and we can host any type of event. We've hosted weddings here before, haven't we?
Correct.
All sorts of stuff.
And
so,
and affordability is very important. That's something we feel strongly about, is that we want people to be able to do what they want to do to help their business grow, but without the expenses being onerous. And that's been a very, very important part of our growth, is that we want to help people also achieve what they want to achieve.
And that's a very noble thing, because a lot of the times, like I know I've looked at event spaces, you know, trying to put on shows or trying to do anything, something of this caliber, this place, I wouldn't even know where to start figuring out how to price it out. But I mean, you work with great great caterers and companies like Sapori. They do a lot of stuff here, but we've also managed to come up with, and I wanted to bring this up too while you were here, cool things like Pasta Palooza.
Yes.
Coming up, Plate-a-Palooza, things like that, where we have partnerships with amazing food, with amazing food vendors and stuff like that here. We could do any type of party you can imagine.
Right. So, and that's one of the ideas that, for our goal, is to maximize our square footage multiple times daily. And just, in fact, yesterday I was just telling Suresh that we booked a party with one of our top clients, who is a pretty top business here in Rochester, New York, who's already booked 4 events with us, non-comedy events. I just booked a breakfast with them in July. It'll be 300 people. They're going to have breakfast here and then do a meeting.
Wow.
And that's, you know, that's the idea. We have 3 event spaces here. They're all gorgeous. They all have top AV. It's a one-stop shop. You take the word comedy, and you have that at sign right there. Yeah. It could be events at the Carlson,
sure.
Weddings at the Carlson, fundraisers at the Carlson. We do a fundraiser once a week. I mean, I think you're on 2 or 3 of them coming up, right?
I'm on 2 of them coming up. We got a... I'll plug that right now. We got the Alzheimer's show, Stand Up to Alzheimer's, on the 24th.
Yeah.
Help us out.
Yes, come on. It's a great event. It's cheap. Cool. You got 3 great comedians on the show.
Todd Youngman, Dan Viola, and myself. We're going to be very funny. Oh,
wow. All right. Well, 2 great comedians on the show.
Don't talk about Viola like that. What did he do to you? What did you do to Dan Viola?
I love him.
Come on. So listen, we've had some real serious conversation here. We've talked a lot about the care and the thought that went into putting this place together. Mm-hmm. We're getting questions, and people want to know some dirt, Mark. Let's get to the dirt, shall
please,
we?
Please, no.
No, nothing bad. I'm just going to ask you. People want to hear funny stories. All about right, the here we they want to ask some questions.
Let's
just
get some dirt from Suresh.
You got some history, what? Mark. You've been around for just about every major comedy show. You've been there in the background doing something. And great question here. Who was the worst heckler you ever removed? What was the worst heckle situation you ever had to deal with? People like the negative, I guess.
The worst heckling situation. There's actually 2 that stand out. First one was Eddie Griffin's show in Webster, where there was a young woman. There was 2 young women sitting in the front row, not together, back to back. One was African-American and one was white, and the one woman said something in the middle of the show about beating this white girl's butt, and the white girl said something about, bitch, you're in Webster, and the 2 of them stood up and started fighting in front of the stage.
What did Eddie Griffin do?
Laughed his ass off, essentially. Like, oh shit, look what's going on.
That's definitely a new one. I don't think I've ever seen a fight break out in the middle of a comedy show before.
It was a nightmare. But we cleared it up. Security cleared it up. We get them off the stage. And then Eddie decided to do 2 hours.
Ah.
Yeah. Wow. But that was one. And then the other one actually was here. Rob Schneider.
I was there that night.
Oh, Cam. Were you, Cam?
Yes, I was. I remember that. I was hoping he was going to tell this one.
All right. Go ahead, Mark. Lay it on us.
This guy was brutal. So he's just sitting there yelling, and he wasn't even paying attention. He just kept yelling, where's Adam Sandler? And Rob Schneider's like, he's not here, but I'm here, and here's my act. And he would continue, and the guy continued. And I grabbed the guy, I bring him out to the bar. I'm like, bro, he's like, I'm sorry, I've never been to a comedy club before. And I was like, bro, what are you drinking? He goes, a Crown and Coke. I go, I'm going to buy you a Crown and Coke if you could just pretty please with sugar on top.
Listen to this guy.
Sit in your
giving
chair.
Giving out drinks, Suresh. What are we going to do about this?
I was like,
one he probably did not need.
I was trying to Pavlov dog this dude into behaving himself because he had no fucking idea how to behave in public. And excuse the French, but this guy drove me to that point. And I said, listen, I'm going to buy you a drink. Just please sit down. Enjoy the show. Everyone's trying to enjoy it. They can't enjoy it because you keep yelling out. He sits down immediately. Where's Adam Sandler? Right when I...
Great.
Yeah, so he had to get ejected immediately. But... How did you eject him,
Mark?
Was it like a casino situation?
I grabbed
situation?
His chair and I drug his chair with him in it all the way out to the... I just grabbed his chair and I drug... It's like, here you go. You're gone.
Drug it almost all the way to the front door.
Actually to the sidewalk. We went through. Well, the chair stopped at the sidewalk, and at that point, he took a swing at me, and then I just kind of like escorted him out to the door.
Oh my gosh!
Then the police came, and then the police were like, "Well, you know, he told you to leave. Did you leave?" The guy's like, "No," and he's like, "Did you take a swing?" And he's like, "Yeah." So I was like, and they asked if I wanted to press charges. Like at that point, no, I just wanted this dude to leave.
Right.
Did
you charge him for that rum and coke? You probably should have charged
him. Well, immediately we went looking for Adam Sandler because apparently he was missing.
No, but his girlfriend comes out. I demand a refund, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what, honey, here you go. I don't want any trouble. Everybody's safe. The show's still going on. The other 323 people are enjoying themselves. Here's your refund. You guys are safe. I know that you're safe because the police are out there. Thank you for coming out. Have a good night.
Okay. Okay. So this kind of goes in line with that. This is a pretty good follow-up question. I'm not sure who submitted this, but they want to know, have you ever had to tell a headliner that they're not welcome back?
Ooh.
That's a tough one, right?
There was a time at the Comics Cafe.
So we're going back pretty far.
Where Mike Damber was featuring for somebody.
Our dear friend Mike Damber.
And I'm not going to say this comedian's name, just out of respect.
Could you give me an idea of what it rhymes with?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't do that.
Okay.
That wouldn't be professional.
Okay. Any Molino.
Any Molino?
Yeah. I hear
so
he's good.
I don't know who booked it, but Mike Damber was the feature spot, and this guy could not follow Mike for the life of him, and he was brutal. And so we asked Mike, you know what, we're going to have to swap you guys. You're going to headline. This is the only time in history I think I've ever done this, was with, because Mike's strong.
With to a headliner, yeah.
Damber is a strong headliner. So now Mike's headlining, and this guy came. He did not want to hear anything about this. And then he literally walked out the door, walked past his vehicle, and just kept walking. And then we didn't see him for the whole rest of the week.
Really? Just disappeared? Ghosted?
He must have came back in the night and grabbed his car and just left. But he left, and that was that.
Really?
Yeah. Mike will tell you the rest of this.
Okay, I'm calling Damber later then. I'm going to find out who it was. Okay. Next question I got here. This one came. This is just a pretty generic one from a viewer. Craziest comedian story. I know the last time you were here, you told the Angel Salazar story. Has anything topped that? I would go back to the archives and check out our last episode with Mark for that story because it's worth it. Trust
yeah,
me.
Yeah, great story.
The craziest. Well, I mean, there's been lately. In the past 6 or 7 years, it's been getting more and more professional. So, and the level of acts that we have been getting have been extremely popular and have been around a while. So there hasn't really been any of these like cocaine and hookers in the green room stories.
Okay,
but
I know of one.
20 years ago, yes, that's. There was a lot of that, actually. And then, and you know what? The business was kind of thriving on stuff like that. Like, bottles of scotch were in people's riders, or bottles of this, or full entire bars. And
now it's like, I'd like soft toilet paper in the green room.
Correct.
Please, and a toothbrush.
You know? And I'm vegan, so I would like a vegan. And I'd please
Which
don't.
Which is great.
Exactly.
And that's, I think that's important. What if, you know, it depends on how you define crazy. The way I would define crazy is you have an opportunity to really build your brand and build your market. One thing I find with the comedians that seem to be increasing more and more in their success is that they spend time to get to know their fans, interact with their fans. They're socializing on social media. They're getting, you know, stuff out there. But they're really building a strong personal connection. I'll use Preacher Lawson as an example. Every fan at the end of every show, it's as if they're his long-lost brother. And I'm saying that with an A. And it's...
you can't spell lost with a brother.
So, you know, and that's amazing because that's a personal connection that you can't really build any other way. So if you're spending all that effort to go town to town and being away from your family and your friends and so on, why not make that investment in yourself? And so if you define crazy, I mean, what it might have been, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, that's one thing. To me, it's crazy to spend all that time and make all that effort and try to hone your craft to a degree and then not take advantage of the market opportunity that you have in front of you.
Interesting.
So there hasn't been any real crazy stories here.
Sure.
Except for one. Because for, like, the most part, everyone right now, like he said, Shresh said that they would request soft toilet paper and vegan snacks rather than alcohol and drugs.
Like and room temperature water.
Yeah. which I love, by the way. Yeah. You know, but there was one comedian who I'm not going to say his name, being professional, who got really drunk. And for some reason, a guest decided to tell him that he thought the feature act was better than him.
Okay, I know who this was. You know, I remember this one.
I was there that night too.
Cam, I love you, dude. Because you put validity in my story.
Cam is like the Forrest Gump of the Carlson.
So I'm literally sitting at a bar stool at the bar, not even drinking, and just talking to Cutter or whoever. And next thing you know, I'm hearing yelling behind me, and it's the headliner almost fighting a guest. So I get in between. I'm like, what's going on? This and that. And it was like talking to a small child. He said the feature act was funnier than me. And I was like, why do you even care? And like, I break it up. Wow. And then now all of a sudden they're like, they're hugging. Okay. And they're like, all right, it's cool. They go up to the bar. And then all of a sudden they're almost at each other's throats again. So I immediately had to say, all right, I'm taking you to the hotel right now. You're done.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. And then the next day, full apology. And then got just as drunk the next night.
Okay.
Your punishment is you have to go to the Strathallan.
Yeah.
So that actually,
you have to go eat at Char Steakhouse, naughty jerk. Boy.
I'll answer this question for you. Zach D submitted this through our Facebook watch party. He wanted to know, do the comics stay? Is there like a comic suite like a lot of places have, or do they go to hotels? We put our comics up in a hotel. We're not going to tell you which one. We jokingly say Strathallan or whatever. It's none of your business where people go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mind your business on that. But I will answer this part and ask Mark this. The follow-up question was, is there a situation where there was any problems at the hotel? Which comedian was the messiest? Initials will suffice.
Oh, all right. So here's another story, actually. Okay.
I already know where this is going when I saw the call.
I know this one, too.
I get a call from the general manager of one of our hotels saying that the FBI and the city police are on their way to the hotel because of illegal substances found in a room by one of our headliners. So I'm like, are you kidding me? So I call him, and I'm getting nowhere on his cell. So then I call his agent, who's a great friend of mine, who I'm not going to say, who I've known for 20 years.
No names.
Years.
No names. That's fine.
And I tell her exactly what just happened, that this general manager of this hotel is I guess the cleaner went in, found a bunch of, you know, at this moment, found a bunch of drugs, and, you know, it's a big issue.
Yeah.
And the police are coming and all sorts. And she mentioned FBI, so I'm like, what is it? Is it heroin or fentanyl? You know, at this point, I'm like, what is going on at this hotel?
Right.
So she goes, I'm going to get a hold of him. I'll call you back. She can't get a hold of him on his cell phone. After about a half hour, the general manager of this hotel calls me back and is, like, embarrassed because it was literally just a little pile of pot. Yeah.
Calling the feds, boys.
So here I am, like, trying to liaison with an agent who is one of the top five agencies in this country. And this dude is pretty well known. He's been in HBO Crashing and everything like that. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on over, like, a joint's worth of weed on his nightstand that he left out while Gladys came in to clean his room and flipped out. Yeah.
Zach goes, Pauly Shore. It's got to be Pauly Shore. I'm going to respond to Zach right now and tell you that you are wrong, Zach.
It was not Pauly Shore.
It was not Pauly Shore. I know who it was, and you are wrong. Okay, let's keep going.
But if you come to me in person, I will tell you, you know, I just am not going to say these things over a broadcast.
Oh, of course not.
No.
I won't tell you the initials either, but I will say that they are a very funny person. And all they had was a little bit of weed, and it got blown out of proportion.
Right.
Okay.
And then he brought it back to the club. We smoked a giant and had a good time. No, I'm just kidding. I don't smoke weed. But
I like how we got we're getting some good questions here, and some of them I could actually answer for you. Do you ever plan to do a hypnosis show like Comics Cafe used to do? We have Chris Jones booked in the Rickles Room.
Thank you for answering that. Yes, yeah. In July or June?
I think it's the end of June.
The end of June. And he is actually
one of the best.
Yeah, he was on America's Got Talent, right?
He's the one who hypnotized Howie Mandel into shaking hands with people
absolutely.
Without the gloves.
Wow, without the gloves?
Without, what is this, by the way?
Yeah.
Do you want to explain this to us? What are you going on? What's that
Well,
go for?
I like to think of myself as a Simpson. A
okay.
Bit, so, you know, it's chilly out. It's Rochester. You want to be prepared.
It's only chilly on my right-hand side. Might be a stroke, Shrek. You might want to get that looked at there, Doc.
It's just Michael Jackson impression.
What is the next big thing to come for comedy at the Carlson? That's a pretty big question. Anything you want to announce or say?
We do have some major acts coming. I am still teasing that, though, at this point.
Okay.
Even though the deals are done, announcements on some things are just going to be a couple more weeks. Also, our events are really big, and that's what's really been taking off.
Right.
Unfortunately, for all you comedy fans, it's the a lot of non-comedy events have been really taking off.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some major guys coming to town.
Yes, you do. Yeah. I'll keep it quiet.
And girls, too.
All right, I'm going to answer another question. What is the date of the next new comic night?
May 9th. Yeah.
That's right. We haven't officially announced it yet. I guess this is it. This is the announcement. It May is. 9th, and it will be the last new comic night until the fall. Is that correct?
Correct. And if it's big enough, we'll do it in the main room. But we're planning on doing it in the Rickles, but if there's 150 people, we'll just move it to the main room.
Wow, that's the first I'm hearing this. So because that's kind of cool.
I think it's available that night, isn't it?
I think you said they were that it might be.
It might be. If not, it's going to be in the Rickles. It's planned to be in the Rickles, but we'll see what kind of responses Vinny gets.
All right, we'll see on that. Now, this question is for Suresh, and this is coming from Sean Day. serious question. When is Suresh getting on stage?
Exactly. You know, Sean, it's first of all, it's good to hear from you, and I hope you
no, it isn't.
I hope you feel better than you looked last night.
Oh no!
So life is a stage, Sean, and that's you know, we're always all on a stage, and I am going to take some time and show you how to put your car in park,
right?
At some point here, so we'll take you a little time out. Story?
What happened to Sean Day? What happened?
Okay, God. So I'm in.
Oh, Sean, look what you did to yourself!
Start a sold out show, ladies and gentlemen, and the manager from Radio Social comes into the door and says, "There is a black Volkswagen that didn't put their car in park that rolled into the street, and it's blocking the whole street out front." So I go outside, I look, there's just this black car blocking the whole road. So I go into I get the license plate number, I go in the showroom, and it's a sold-out room. Mm-hmm. And this is like 5 minutes before showtime. I'm like, can I get everybody's attention, please? This is going to be a weird announcement, but for the owner of a Volkswagen plate, yabba-dabba-doo, your car rolled into the road. And, like, nobody came up. I'm like, oh, I guess, it must be somebody at Radio Social. But apparently at that moment, Sean Day ran out of the building like a bat out of hell in his car. here's the funniest part, right? It's the second time it happened to the dude.
Oh, my God.
And it's a stick. Dude, put it in. Don't even leave.
Just put the emergency brake on, you numbnut.
Leave it in gear. What's wrong with you?
Okay, so.
Having said that, I do love Sean Day. He is a phenomenal person. And we're thankful that he's here.
He wouldn't want you to go on stage because then it's just one more person funnier than him out there.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
That was rude. I was trying to have empathy now.
A little roast.
So. Okay, so Mark.
Yes.
One of the things that a lot of people have asked, and I was saving this to kind of wrap things up today because I know you got to get ready for Tammy Pescatelli, and Suresh has got to rip things out of people's mouths or whatever it is he does all day and plan. He's going to go plan, read books, and rip things out of people's mouths. It's Suresh. But a lot of comics want to know how – I mean, we do the new comic nights. We do this. We do those things. But, like, how can – they get guest spots. They want to know how to get guest spots. And we don't just hand them out. They're not candy.
Right.
But they want to have a good idea of what you're looking for to get guest spots. What's the best way to get seen by you, you think?
Well, I'm glad you said that about handing them out like candy because, first off, it's value. A lot of places just hand them out, and it kind of devalues what's on stage. This is a very important thing, and we want you to understand how important it is because – when you're performing, and by the way, I support all 17 open mics around town, if it is 17 or if it's 20 or if it's 10, whatever.
I think since we started, they've added about three.
I love all the open mics that are happening around town. And I love that it gives everybody a chance to voice their art, be themselves, be creative, to practice. Our stage and our main stage is not for practice. There's, when you go to the coffee shops or the small bar shows and stuff like that, there's not people paying $20 sometimes or $25 sometimes to go see those shows. We have to have quality for our guests. It is about the comics on stage, but it's mainly about the guest experience. And that's what we are about. And we want to make sure, and I want to make sure, and whoever, like when Todd asks about putting somebody on the stage, or you recommend, or Brian recommends somebody, or anybody, they have to represent not just themselves and their craft, but they have to represent the club, and to know that somebody just come in and paid $30 to go see somebody, and all of a sudden there's this guy, instead of setting the table, kind of moving the dishes a little bit, and now the feature act has a hole to dig himself out of.
Right. Now, I'm gonna ask you a question. This is my follow-up to that. This is for me, and a question that I think the answer might be valuable to some of the open mic comics in town. Can you tell us a little bit about the mistakes, the common mistakes that you see people make when they get a guest spot? Because I know there's a lot of things that you can do that really...
Opening with a Hitler joke, Justin Brown.
That's one.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah. You know what? No. Just kidding.
Justin, that was a joke.
I think that that forgetting that it's about the audience and not about themselves. And I think that's what you have to remember, is that this is about a service experience for your clients in front of you, and it's not about yourself. And that's why it's very important, I think, to leave the ego at the door. And, you know, to your point, we certainly, it is a curated group, Mark. Mm-hmm. And it's not for practice in the sense, hey, does this work, does this not work? But it is for practice in the sense that we're always looking to get better. So taking the feedback, listening to the crowd, you know, if you do want to get into a situation where you are able to hit the stage, you know, we want to work with people to get them there. We think that we can make Rochester comedy stronger by spending time to grow people, but they have to be open to that growth process.
And also, there's a lot of other kind of, like, there's a lot of headliners out there that their contracts just say no guest spots allowed. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Or have to have approval, so I'll have to send them a clip. Like, I've sent clips of you, I've sent clips of Brian to headliners before so they can approve that. So that's another thing that you guys want to do. First off, get a clip.
Mm-hmm.
Get a clip that's very sellable of you, that's, you know, a great set. And steer away from something that might just hit one group. If you want to be at a comedy club...
I love this answer. Keep going.
I mean, so if you're... If you're a celebrity, you have your niche audience in place. But if you are a niche comic expecting like a whole bunch of people to fall into your niche, it's not going to work. You got to be your material has to fall on the ears of the masses. And that means the Shereshes of the world. That means the Mechanics of the world. That means the women that work at flower shops of the world, because that's who's buying tickets randomly as our guests. It's an audience of everybody. And they might not want to hear your little niche, or they might not want to hear your little political view on whatever it is. And if you want to be the person that's in front of the masses, you need to appease the masses. And it's as simple as that. But you have to be funny. You have to be funny. Appease means be funny.
Right.
With your permission, can I add one other comment? It's not so much... absolutely, you have to be funny. But it's... have a wide appeal. It's your personality which builds the niche. So that when you let that shine through, I think that's what builds your audience that really connects with you. And so let yourself be yourself, but don't pigeonhole yourself too much into one part of comedy versus another. Appeal to the general audience. I don't know if that even makes sense saying that, but the personality, I think, is what endears people to the people on stage.
I'm going to continue to add follow-up questions from my end here, because I think this is going to be helpful for a lot of people here. Mark, when you're looking for guest spots, do you... you prefer clean, right? You prefer a clean act?
Absolutely, 100%. The first time you go on the stage here, we expect you to be 100% clean. And you know what? Take that as a challenge.
And I love you just saying that. Put it out there for people. They need to know this.
I mean, I swore twice during this interview.
Yeah.
And I'm already kind of like, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I did it while I was talking about how aggressive that situation is, so I kind of did it on purpose.
Sure.
But right now, I don't even like to swear anymore, and I used to be the filth monger. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, if you can challenge yourself to do something that's bettering yourself, and I'm not saying swearing and not swearing makes you a better human being, but to some people, they don't want to hear obscenities all the time, and our audience is included, and they have spoken to us about it. They have commented about that. I'll use an example that happened last week. We had a very clean comedian on stage, and there was still a person on social media calling this person misogynist, vulgar. He didn't swear one time.
We're talking about preacher?
I can't say who.
Okay.
But it was a clean show, and right. And they went on a social media tirade about his act. And I'm not saying that person is correct.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say is this is the times we live in.
Right.
And if you can challenge yourself to be clean and funny, it's difficult. It's difficult for you to be clean and funny. So if you have that capability of wit, if you have that capability of joke writing, if you have that capability of making people laugh without grossing them out, guess what? There's nowhere you can't be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You can be Sky Sands, who, if you don't think that Sky Sands is a professional or amazing, you're wrong.
You were very wrong.
He can walk into a kindergarten class, amaze 4-year-olds, and then go into a corporation and do a show in front of 800 people and amaze them, and then go to a dinner with his wife and pull out some trick and amaze the customers at some other restaurant around him.
You know how many times I've walked into the Doctor's Inn in particular, and Sky Sands is holding court?
Correct. Yeah. And I'm not saying you need to, you know, buy yourself a deck of bicycle cards and start chopping them up.
Yeah.
But you need, if you can be clean and funny, you can go anywhere and be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the opportunities are really endless because clean acts open the doors to, just like we're doing more events here, we'd love to incorporate comedy components into a lot of those events that corporations are booking. So corporate events and dinner party, all those things you mentioned are huge opportunities. Selling your act doesn't just have to be in a comedy club or on a stage. It's really wherever people want to be entertained and have fun. And I think the corporate angle is a huge opportunity.
It's massive. Well, and that's one of the things that if maybe you shouldn't be aiming for the guest spot, put your 5-minute set together, send it to me. On Wednesdays, I dedicate like 2 to 3 hours at looking at talent. And I know a lot of you guys get frustrated, but there's like 150 people that hit me up on Wednesdays. There's only so many spots. I do get to everybody. But there's also, is this person going to fit with this show? Is this person going to fit with that show? But there's other opportunities, like Suresh said, that we're doing here. And like we touched on earlier, we do a lot of fundraisers that the first thing they say is,
we need it clean.
We need it clean. So just so everybody knows, in this past week, we've done 3 private comedy events for companies, and they all requested clean. And this is the breakdown that I've come up with when I sell a private event with comedy. I say there's 3 levels. There's guys that are going to say everything, and they're going to say fuzzuck. They're going to talk about sex. They're going to talk about whatever. Then there's those guys that are just going to say shiz, and they're not going to say fuzzuck. And then there's guys that aren't going to say any swear words at all. What level do you want to be? And usually it's always they can say shiz, but I don't want them to talk about people's sexual orientations or anything like that. Or they want clean.
And that business,
that's what the masses want.
Yeah, and that side of the business, that's exactly what it is. And the fact is, we are in business for the customers, and we want to give the people what they want. And listen, your art can be filthy, dirty, and it's probably funny.
My favorite comedian.
But if we can't sell it, what good is it?
Correct. When you get to a certain point, well, I mean, and that's kind of like the teeter-totter, because I don't ever want anybody to hinder who they are or hinder their art.
Of course not.
But when it comes to our stage, if you want to get a guest spot, if you want to get on these clean shows, you're going to have a clean set. And that's essentially the answer of that question that you asked 15 or 20 minutes ago.
But it was a good answer, though, and it's an important one.
And you know, and we want to, we're very, very happy to, I think, try and be part of that developmental process. Mm-hmm. Again, we just need folks that are willing to be open to some feedback.
Yeah.
Right. And now, like, so Luke is getting, he's going to get some work. Mm-hmm. And I just told him that he's going to have to sit down with Todd, he sit down with you, mm-hmm. because he's never emceed here before, mm-hmm. and he's never featured here before. So there's mm-hmm. going to be some expectations that he's going to have to fill in, or excuse me, he's going to have to live up to that. You know, I don't know too much of his material other than what we saw here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Luke, you did a killer job. Now here's what you're going to do to grow into this program, and then when you start featuring, then you're freer or more free to do your stuff, and then you build it off. So Malcolm Whitfield is now featuring here. Mm-hmm. You're featuring here. Mm-hmm. The difference between you emceeing here and featuring here is night and day, correct?
Big time.
And that's, it's, you're here to, you're here for us as your MC, and as a feature, you're still here for us, but your wings can spread out because you've already blossomed.
Right. I really like the way you described that and you explained that, because, you know, you have to earn that freedom. You have to earn to be able to stretch your legs. And you can't just assume that you could, you know, say whatever you would want to say if you were headlining a show on a guest spot or something like that.
Right.
So I wanted to follow that up with
one quick thing. And yeah, I know I have resting bitch face all the time.
Me too.
It's just because I'm constantly thinking about business. But I literally, please come up, ask me questions. I'm really just a giant teddy bear.
I
just want to be hugged, everybody.
Shockingly approachable, but also shockingly terrifying.
It's the beard. I'm shaving.
No, I think that it's just because you do have like an intense nature at some points. I think a lot of comics have no idea where to even start to say hello to you, and I think that's just because of their own nerves and, you know, trying to get ahead. So I guess the point is, just say hello.
Yeah, say hello. I honestly, if I'm in mid-thought, it's because I'm thinking about the 1,000 souls I'm responsible for that weekend.
And you also have to remember that I text message Mark things that have no basis in reality and just completely random thoughts every 30 to 45 seconds. So that's always happening.
Right, and he's trying to deal with that.
You, it's the greatest thing in the world. I think differently because I know Suresh. I'm telling you. It's great.
Well,
drink the Kool-Aid.
It's grape.
It was Flavor Aid.
Not because it's a mindset, because your teeth rot and then you have to go see him as a patient.
It's brilliant. Brilliant. So, Mark, let me ask you this question. When you are when you're doing your Wednesday morning look arounds for talent, uh-huh. Where can people, this was a question that we just got, where can people send their clips? Is there a particular email?
Email me, or a lot of people are finding me through Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
I do watch them. If you think I don't watch them, I watch them. And guess what? I am blatantly honest. So if I'm going to tell you, if you're expecting, hey, that's great. You might not be getting that reply. I'll be constructively criticizing, mm-hmm. And you know, letting you know that, you know, I've been in a comedy club every day of my life for the past 25 years, and when I'm not in the clubs, I'm watching stand up at home, or like my wife, like I said, she wants to divorce me sometimes because if we ever do anything personal, I'm in a different city. I'm looking who's playing in the clubs, and I guess who's now doing that too.
I know, yeah. He does.
He's like, look who's here, look who's there, look who's there. And I'm like, dude, yeah. And that's, it drives people, non-comedian people, crazy. But
the love is there for the art form. The love is there. I guess to wrap this up today, I want to thank everybody who's watching. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do that. Subscribe via YouTube. Find us on Facebook, hit like. But also check out the audio version of the show, iTunes. We're also on Spotify. We're in the Google Play stores. And you could also, hopefully very, very soon, we're going to be on iHeartMedia. We're working on that at the moment.
Epic.
We're working on that app. I'm just waiting on a couple little things. So keep an eye out for that. But I guess the point that I really hope everybody takes away from this today is the key word is evolve.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to evolve as a club.
Correct.
To get better. You evolve as a performer along,
yes,
with us.
Awesome.
And we'll all have a wonderful time. Any closing thoughts, Suresh?
You know, I really feel that if you are interested in comedy, if you are doing some comedy actively, please, if you see me here, come up and say hello. Give me a card or just we want to know who you are. We want to, you know, help you wherever we can. I think Rochester is an amazing town. I think we have an incredible comedy community. Mm-hmm. You know, again, we're not the platform for open mics, but we are a platform for a curated group. But we want to bring more people into that curated group. Mm-hmm. And then we want to see those folks grow their skills and then become known comics, you know, globally or whatever it might mean. So we're open to trying to help folks do that. So we want to help you achieve your goals and your dreams, mm-hmm. and we want to be the platform for that. So just come and say hello, say hi, and you know, that'd be great.
And also buy a ticket and come watch a show.
Right. And be here all the time. That's the thing. A lot of these guys hang out here, and they're always talking to us.
Yeah.
And guess who's getting stage time? I mean,
not Dave Vacco. Just kidding,
no,
buddy.
On his behalf, though.
I'm just teasing.
We're working with him. Ask him about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right now he meets with Todd like once or twice a week, and I'm going to have him run a set in front of me. Dan McArdle, he's running a set in front of me next week. There's a couple other people. I'm going to have them run their sets in front of me, and if you know, we want them to advance. And here's the thing. It's a tough room to get into. It's a mm-hmm. tough room to get on stage on, and that's because it's valuable, and that's how we take it. It's everything to us, and we want it to be everything to who's on that stage as well.
You know, once you're on that stage, you know, take that. You'll be able to. That's something of value you can take to other places and get onto stages elsewhere. And so, the stronger we build this brand, the more value it will carry nationwide to help you excel elsewhere.
And like, just use Todd Youngman as example. He's playing the Funny Bones. He's opening at theaters for major guys. Mm-hmm. Steven Rogers, you know what I mean? He's mm-hmm. headlining here in the Rickles Room in about a month, I think.
And coming up pretty quick.
He's Brian Regan's guy. He, you know, travels the globe with him.
And why is he Brian Regan's guy? Because he did what? He wrote clean, funny jokes.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
And he's entertaining the masses. So if you want to entertain the masses, entertain the masses.
Mark, will you do another one of these with us sometime?
Was I guess so. This was like impromptu, and I
but
appreciate
it. But it was fun, though.
It was very fun. I love it. We got to do Suresh.
I'm probably just going to start my own podcast.
Sean Day, so. I appreciate you asking this question, because right now, I'm sorry I'm putting you on the spot, but right now we're working on the roast of Bob Lonsberry with a full cast of people, but I've had many requests, and I'm trying to put together the roast of Suresh, and I think it's time.
You know, I'm a vegan, so I'm probably going to hold off on any roast, but I do appreciate it.
They put those vegetables on the skewers and throw them on a grill. You relax,
I'm thinking that's a good time for Suresh to retort us.
I would like to submit my videos I've been making and be complaining about Suresh for consideration. And by the way, Mark, real quick, a bunch of people asked. I make them at home.
What?
Just a bunch of videos making fun of me. Question is, what's the email that people should email you at? Do you want to give it out? Is that all right?
Sure, absolutely. I got two. Easy. They're both easy.
Okay.
ComedyClubMark@gmail.com.
Okay.
And mark@carlsoncomedy.com.
Also, just to clean up a little business here, Cindy Arena wants to know, really, what was the name of the book that you read?
Traction.
Traction. And it's a really fantastic book. To help you organize your business and also your life to some degree. And that's a number of different books. What I do is for here in the club, I find books that I think are valuable, and then we get them for everybody, and we kind of go through them together. And Traction is actually one that a number of friends are really building their businesses around that concept. So it's a really good book.
By chapter three, I realized so much stuff that I was doing wrong. Well, maybe not wrong, but I was doing and I could do better.
There it is.
And that's one of the things that is just, it's the evolving is awesome.
I love it.
And awesome. I also have to really give a shout out to the team here. It is amazing what Mark has done. He's motivated everybody here to really do an incredible job. And we just feel that we owe the community a lot for having been given the opportunity to have this business. And so we want to keep working hard to meet everybody's expectations and exceed them.
Well, I'll tell you what. I want to thank you guys from my heart for every opportunity that you give him here. I love this place. You know that. Mm. I think about this place. Even when I'm on the road, I think about how much I'd rather be here. But I love you guys for what you've done for Rochester. Thank you for that.
Well, you're part of it. I mean, well, when he keeps seeing the team, Vinny.
I'm glad to be part of the team. And
while we're speaking, he keeps talking about the servers, too. While we are talking, there's 100 bowlers right now having their award ceremony right behind this wall.
That's true.
And they're running it like a tight ship. I keep looking at my phone to see if there's any questions. No questions. These guys, and they're going to break down this award ceremony, set it up as a comedy club. And then when the comedy club's done, they're going to then set it up for a church because we run to a church on Sunday mornings.
Hallelujah.
And there's going to be then two bands playing in the bar tonight. It's really amazing the transformation that this place goes through in a 24-hour period.
In an hour. This place feels completely different.
He had the idea of doing like a closed captioning camera on the kids, like from setup to setup to setup to setup.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be pretty neat. Well, folks, that's going to be the end of our show today. Like I said, don't forget to hit subscribe. Rate and review. Leave us some good feedback. We appreciate you. And we're going to be back next week with Sam Comro on our normal time Friday morning.
Yep.
So sleep tight, and we'll talk to you later, Marks.